It's a psalm of safety. It's a psalm about protection. It's about deliverance. It's also about the covenant God formed with his people. And we talked about in this blessing series here, the two main themes I'm finding of Proverbs and Psalms is the word blessing. It talks about if you want to get blessed, it gives you many, many details about how God blesses people through Proverbs, practical things relating to mankind. And then the book of Psalms talks about how God blesses us, how God works from heaven to bring blessings our way. And so as we bless him, as we bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, he always says, whatever you sow into me, I will always sow right back into you, but it will be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, okay? So the Psalms and Proverbs are something I encourage you guys to read every day, because the truth is, God wants you blessed more than you realize he does. And blessed does not just mean big things and big stuff. Blessed means joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if those things are all there, you're also going to find that divine contentment comes. You're going to find that all things that are of a negative emotional nature get broken off of us. You're going to find that strivings for things in the flesh start diminishing more and more, and cravings for things of the Spirit and eternal values increase more and more. As God is the presence and God is the Lord of our lives, he'll consume us with his desires, and it says he's our delight. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you then automatically the desires of your heart, okay? So I want my desires to be what God desires as well. Proverbs is about reigning in life, whereas Psalms is about having fullness of life. I'm not going to be handing any notes out tonight. Again, like I said, it's going to be a time for us to be ministering to individuals or a few individuals in this service here. There'll be about 4 to 5 things at least we'll be praying about in specific. I'm believing God again. There's an anointing in this place to see some real transformations take place, to see some real breakthroughs happen, and to see the body of Christ come together tonight to minister one to another in Jesus' name and see some lasting results take place. Once in a while, we need to take and just put aside the receiving and just doing the teaching only, and take some time to actually put into action that we are priests unto God. We are ministers of the Lord. We are the body of Christ. We are fitly joined together. Every joint supplies what the other joint needs, and we'll work together in God's name, in Christ's name. So I want to read a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a very, very popular evangelist, I think back in the 17th century. I have a 3-set book on the book of Psalms called The Exposition of Charles Spurgeon of Psalms. And he writes about Psalm 91. He says these things. In the whole collection, there is not a more cheering psalm. Its tone is elevated and sustained throughout. Faith is at its best and speaks nobly. A German physician was wont to speak of it as the best preservative in times of cholera, Psalm 91. And in truth, it is a heavenly medicine against plague and pest. He who can live in his spirit will be fearless, even if once again London should become a lazar house and graves be gorged with carcasses once again. So he's saying there from London, England, he's saying again, no matter what evil comes, even our nation's way, Psalm 91 will be the chapter we will pray and believe God's word will go forth and conquer the enemy by the words he spoke years, many, many centuries ago. Also, I saw in Charles Spurgeon's notes that many theologians believe that David did not really write Psalm 91. It was very, very likely, they said, written by Moses because of the writing there. It was there. There's no author given for that book. It's all guesswork. But he said, because of the words we see there in Psalm 91, it's very likely Moses was talking about Joshua and Caleb and talking about things he experienced himself and his walk with God in this book. The main thing is, though, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means what? It means God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Okay, so Psalm 91 is that as well. Whether it comes from Moses, whether it comes from David, they are simply vessels that God spoke through and wrote the Psalms through them for us to benefit from today. So, it's the heart of the Lord for each person to discover the unique purpose for each person on the earth. God wants all of us to understand He's had a plan for us from the foundation, creation of the world. Psalm 91 gives us some things we can actually hone in on tonight in specific that may be hindering some people in this room tonight from fulfilling the purpose God has for them upon the earth. So I'm believing God again tonight to speak to us and minister through us for people in this congregation. God loves diversity, and realize that unity is not uniformity. Unity is diverse people coming together for the same cause. Okay? So God likes diversity, and unity diversity can take place in unity whenever the unity is around the same cause, and that is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. First of all, when we do that, God uses all of our diverse personalities and giftings and backgrounds and brings them all together for a thing that will actually shake the kingdoms of darkness and help to populate heaven more and more with God's grace and power. So, ultimate freedom is not about doing what I want. It's about doing that which pleases God and fulfills my purpose on the earth. That's what true freedom is. You're free again to be a servant of the Lord. And praise God, His yoke is easy, His burden is light, but the fact remains He's got a yoke. And the yoke is not a yoke of bondage, not a yoke of slavery, not a yoke of control, manipulation, and bad things. His yoke is easy. We're actually glad we have His yoke because His yoke protects us. His yoke guides us. His yoke helps us plow the ground better and produce what's called lasting fruit. If we had a yoke on ourselves we made, we're going to find ourselves plowing in a field that God did not ordain, and there will not be lasting fruit from that. I don't want to waste my short 85 or 95 years on the earth doing my own thing my own way. I want to be under the yoke of God, following His direction and following His commands and doing things God's way. Okay, so moving on here. It's God's desire that each one of us taste the fullness of life while being who God has made us to be at the same time. That's why, again, we talk about in our newcomers' luncheons, we show the vision for the church here. It's called the vision of the house with many rooms there. Those rooms represent the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not just an apostle or just a teacher or just an evangelist or just a person that talked about treasure and finances, talked about families and homes, miracles and healings. All these things are what Jesus Christ was altogether. Yet we as members of the body of Christ are going to find ourselves strong in some areas, weaker in others. When we come together here, there will be strength in numbers. And what we may not be strong in ourselves, our brother or sister over here may be strong in that area. And I'm praying to God right now, just releasing right now prophetic discernment, faith, power, and whatever giftings are inside you folks, may it come to the surface tonight and be used to see people set free and helped in the way that God wants. Okay, so today is again about leaving the 99 and going after the 1, the 2, the 3. How many folks need to be prayed for tonight before we leave this place? It's about us not receiving the blessings only, but actually being a blessing tonight. So handling the blessings of God means sometimes stopping and choosing, I will be a blessing, not just receive blessings. But again, I want to tell you guys, the biggest revival I've ever seen break out by folks at Shoreline, folks I've taken on short-term missions trips, or folks that go in needy places and God works through them, and they come back here smiling and beaming with tears running down their face. They couldn't believe God used them the way He used them in places like that, where it seems like it's easier sometimes to have breakthroughs. So the best way to get revival is let yourself be a vessel God can pour through. Because this is like gold going through a cloth. There's going to always be some residue of the gold left in the cloth that it goes through. Okay, whatever God goes through is going to receive some residue of God in them. And God is just full of joy and power and revelation and all kind of good things. So I want to have the residue of the Spirit in me as the Spirit of God flows through me. I want to be a vessel that God can use. Amen? Tonight's going to be a night like that. So let's just dive right into this first one here. First prayer point is found in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 3. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High And I think that's the word El Shaddai, or God Almighty, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, other translations, in this last part especially, they talk about the snare of the fowler, the perilous pestilence, actually being the things that people and humans pour into your life by offenses, betrayals, backbitings, and things that actually wound you at the hands of people that befriended you, were loyal to you, close to you, or folks you respected perhaps in your life. Okay, so we're going to deal with that. Verse 1, it says that God is near us, and also it says here, God is our protector. Okay, verse 3 goes on and says, He will deliver us from every false accusation and any curse spoken against us. God will cut that thing off of us if we come against it in Jesus' name. So tonight, I'm going to start out and say, some of you folks that are here, even me myself, have been in situations where you could see a trap was being set for you, and you discern that trap was being set there, and some of you guys actually did not fall into the trap the enemy was putting out for you. Now, how many folks can say that that's true in your life in the past year or two? You saw a trap being put out for you, you discerned that trap, and you actually avoided that trap, and it did not cause you any problems because you saw it, avoided it, and did the wise thing. Some of you folks saw a trap was set for you, and it did affect you. You did step into it. It blindsided you, and it might have caused hurts, wounds, bruises, anger. Even some folks have got even full-blown bitterness from traps that they fell into. Scandalon is a word for a trap and snare in the Greek language. And the word scandal comes from the word scandalon. And it talks about how the mouths of people, the mouths of men, have come against you somehow. The trap was set, and you stepped into it, and you were offended. You were bruised, wounded somehow by that. And the sad thing is, just like in nature, whenever an animal steps into a trap and sets it off, what happens? They are trapped in the trap until the trap is sprung. Now, how do you spring the trap? We understand what the Bible says, forgiveness. Forgive others, and you shall be forgiven. You forgive other folks their sins. Your sins be forgiven also yourself. You're going to find if you don't forgive people that ensnare you with their mouths, their attitudes, their actions, you'll find yourself trapped and held tight right there where the offense took place. So you're actually hurting yourself, not others. When they wound you and hurt you and don't release them and don't forgive them, you're going to find the trap's been sprung and the trap still has a hold of your feet, your legs, your whatever, and God wants you free tonight in Jesus' name. So, if it has to, we need to pray that God will reverse also tonight. We're going to pray tonight that God reverses the effect the trap and snare may have had on you. Now, I understand, again, we pray from time to time. We have messages here about unforgiveness and so forth. But tonight, again, maybe some new traps have been snaring you. And there's a time tonight to see the effect of the trap set for you that actually went off and is affecting you tonight in any kind of a negative way at all. Let's believe God tonight is your night, that trap is broken, the snare is broken, and you are escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler, okay? We don't want you fouled any longer by the fowler. Others tonight here have suffered due to false accusations. People actually have lied about you. They got wrong information about you. They posted things that are wrong about you. They've said things behind your back that are not right about you. And there's been a thing called false accusations take place. Every pastor has had this take place in their lives if they've been around a church more than 2 or 3 months. This takes place among all leaders. It takes place among all believers because we live in a fallen world. People's mouths wag. And I mean, folks, you played that game before where you go around a circle, you say a sentence, and when you go around about 10 people, it goes right back to the first person. The message got very twisted when the 10th person spoke out what they thought they heard the first person actually said. And the sad thing is, the same thing's true of gossip and slander and false accusations. It gets bigger, it gets blown up, it gets exaggerated there, and all of those things can really cause hurts and wounds to people on the earth. So, I'm going to ask you guys to be honest tonight. If you're a person that's suffering tonight from any effect of a snare or trap that you know was set for you and is still affecting you somehow tonight, or if you're a person tonight who has suffered from false accusations and that's causing any kind of a sting in your life at all tonight, would you be very honest right now where you're at and just stand up? Just go ahead and stand up. Anybody at all? Maybe two, three, four. Okay. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to take, and I'm going to have people now start getting up out of your seats, gathering around these five, six people here. They're standing up. Let's get some folks around this lady over here named Gloria. Get some folks here around Linda over here. She's going to take standing up, doing Christian aerobics. We're going to be doing up and down Jack in the Box church tonight. It's going to take aerobics. It's going to take some moving. It's going to take some bending of knees. And let's go ahead and put some, and begin to touch our brother and sister on the shoulder over here. We need someone around Son, over here around Esther as well. Back here's Connie, and over here, get around Susan Veal as well, some folks that are there. And we're going to pray this night. I'm going to take it. I'm going to read Psalm 80, verses 3 through 6. Right, let me get my Bible and read this. Psalm 80, verses 3 through 6. We're going to pray this prayer of Psalm 80, 3 through 6, over our brother and sister tonight together. And even now, if you want to, start just praying quietly in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to start just moving here even right now among these people. Let me find Psalm 80. I'm going to read verses, like I said, 3 through 6. Let's see what it says here. It says, "Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You've led them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and then we shall be saved." Okay? Let's pray that prayer right now for the people that you're touching and praying for. Father God, we just thank you and praise you even now. O Lord God of hosts, we say that your face shall be upon their face. And we say, cause your face to shine upon them. And we say, save them, deliver them, Father God, from all the accusations, all the rumors, all the snares, every trap that's been set for them. We say those traps be broken off of them in the name of Jesus. We declare freedom. We declare liberty. And we say, Father God, as they release those people right now and forgive them from their hearts, be, O God, the glory and the lifter of their heads, and cause your countenance, O God, to shine upon them. And we thank you, Lord God, that you save them to the uttermost. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to move on. I still keep on praying here. I'm going to ask you to repeat these words, if you would, after me together over these people. Let's repeat these words. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. I declare that what the enemy meant for evil has no effect on me. And I declare that your light remains on me, and I am saved from the snare of the enemy and of man in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and thank you, O God, for what you're doing right now to break this off these people's lives, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated here again. You guys did really good there. Thank you so much for helping out. That was our first prayer point tonight in Psalm 91. That's good. That's us being a blessing to the body of Christ. And I believe these guys were prayed for. I believe that they are set free. And I believe that trap is broken. And I believe that your soul is set free like a bird from a snare in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like this young Kyla had us pray tonight for little birds that are on the ground, that are out of the nest, that they be saved there. I believe you're like a bird saved tonight in Jesus' name. Let's go now to the next one. Next prayer point is found in verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you shall take refuge. The truth shall be your shield and be your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So you see here that the enemy comes against you, some folks at nighttime, some folks in the daytime, and some folks at the brightest part of the day called noonday when the sun's the highest. That's when the enemy attacks people in these three areas. So it shows here again some revelation that God wants to reveal to us tonight. We're going to pray for some more folks in a moment about these attacks of the enemy. Some here, let's go to number one, may be tormented by the night attacks. And night attacks take place. Other folks, it's in day attacks. Other folks, and day attacks are primarily panic attacks. Night attacks are attacks that take place around nightmares, around tormenting spirits that come into your house, your home at night. You find yourself going through fears and worries. At nighttime, all the pressures of life, your bills, your future, things you could have done in the past and did not do, all these thoughts come bombarding you in the night hours. Whereas other folks, they find in the daytime hours, they go through panic attacks. Where's my kids at? Are they driving safe? Are they on the streets right now getting hit by cars? They think about all these things that cause them to worry and be fearful in the daytime. So we're going to pray about both of those. And we're going to pray tonight for what's called a wraparound shield, because it says in Psalms 91 verses 4 through 6, he shall cover us with his feathers. You might have seen how a chicken or a hen, when they guard their chicks, they actually wrap their wings around them so tightly. They've been found in farms when there's been wildfires, that when the wildfire blows through, the mother chicken is dead, burned to a crisp, but when they take the mother chicken off, all the chicks are alive under her belly because she covered them in the feathers and the wings of her own being. That's what God does. God would even lay down the life of his own son, Jesus, to protect you. He would wrap himself around you so much like a garment that actually brings to you protection from every fiery dart of the enemy that comes your way. Amen? So we're going to believe God tonight again that the night attacks will be taken and broken off. We need also tonight believe God for revelation of God's presence and God's protection that God reveals to us. Because some of you folks, the devil's lied to you that God is not really there very strongly, that God doesn't really preserve your life, God doesn't care about you enough. And so those are lies from the pit of hell that gives the devil place in your mind and your soul to have a plan or a place of attack. We need revelation tonight that God shows to us how he preserves us and how he protects us beyond our own thoughts or imaginations. And even though we do some things that are stupid sometimes and do things that are even sinful sometimes, God still does not lift his hand off of us. He still protects us even in our rebellious times sometimes. Psalm 127, verse 2 says this. Psalm 127, 2. For so he gives his beloved sleep. We're going to pray tonight for people that are being attacked at night with insomnia. You're being attacked with nightmares, perhaps. You're being attacked with worries and fears that are coming and bombarding your brain. When you lay your head down your pillow at night, your head's being bombarded by all the cares of life, the pressures of life, past, present, or future bombard you. And some of you guys are even having full-blown nightmares that take place. They're demonic nightmares. You're seeing things of family members getting killed in car wrecks. You're seeing cancers appearing. You're seeing whatever, just kind of evil things appear sometimes in your dreams. And those are attacks of the devil himself trying to vex you and trying to rob you of peace and strength and faith in your life. Okay, so Psalm 127:2, he gives his beloved sleep. And also the Bible says, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So this psalm is about God's presence upon his people. And so I'm going to ask you guys now tonight, if you'll be honest, how many here tonight are having problems in the nighttime with insomnia or nightmares or thoughts of worry and fear that bombard your brain sometimes in the night? Would you stand up right now? Anyone like that at all in this room? All right. One, two. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to take and have you folks again do your aerobics. Stand up here. Let's go to our two sisters over here, Gloria and also Connie. Let's pray with them. Let's begin to believe God that all these nightmares, all this insomnia, all these things that vex them in the night, these thoughts of the enemy that comes to their minds, that they be broken off of them in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, O Lord, tonight for our two sisters who are going through times, O God, of torment in their dreams, in their nighttime hours. We just command the devil to get his hands off of their minds, off their houses, off their homes. We say the blood of Jesus covers the doorpost of their house, their bedrooms, their home. It shall not be a place of torment, but it shall be a place of peace and rest and soundness of sleep. We command all insomnia be broken off their minds and their hearts in the name of Jesus. We bind every nightmare, every demonic dream. We rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. And we say that the dreams they have are sweet, and they are of God, and they're pure, just, and lovely, and of a good report in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you as well, God, that no weapon formed against them prospers. Your presence prospers. Your presence is there in their homes. And we thank you, O God, this day that you are with them, Father, every night hour. And the darkness will not consume them, but the light of God shall be their portion in the name of Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Bless you, Father. Play, Rabbi. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. All right, we've got to move on to the next one here. We're going to pray for daytime, folks, now in a moment. If anybody here is like that. I want to say one more thing about darkness is the Bible says that God shall hide you in the shadow of his wings. So sometimes you're in a dark place, not because the devil's there, but because God's shadow is on you. God's actually presence is there. So some of you guys are going through a dark place that's not of your making. And in that dark place, the valleys of the shadow of death, it seems like, that's also where the shadows of God's wings are wrapping around you. And you can't see that great because God's wings are so tight around you. It's causing the shadow of his glory to be on you. Okay? So even in the dark place, it's not always all Satan. It's sometimes God with his wings overshadowing you and putting a dark place inside your own mind or heart. I believe God's doing that. Anybody going through any kind of a trial like that, a dark place that's not your design or your making, God's shadow be on you in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask now about you folks in the light and the daylight. And I also want to say in a side note, we've had attacks in our house sometimes with demonic presence doing weird things in our home. It'd be a long story. That we know where it comes from, where it came from. But the Holy Spirit told me a couple of years back, he said, whenever you start sensing that's going to take place in your house, start commissioning warring angels in your home before you go to sleep. Again, we don't worship angels. We don't serve angels. Angels serve us with God's command. But we also are foolish to neglect angels and forbid angels to be around helping, because the angels are ministering spirits. The Bible says given to the heirs of salvation. So I encourage you to take and commission warring angels in your house. If you sense there's demonic attacks, if there's doors opening and closing by themselves, lights are going on and off by themselves, that's demonic attacks, okay? And so I'm saying loose warring angels in your house, and they will fight those entities around you, and they will bow to it, and they will leave you alone for that night, okay? So I just know, for a matter of fact, in our house, that does take place and has happened in the past. Now, the noonday and daytime people are those, if you're having any problem with panic attacks in the daytime, you're wondering where your kids are at. Are they safe when they're driving their cars? What about their future? What about your future? You're finding things bombarding you at work, at your workplace. You're finding, are they backstabbing me? Do they want my job? They want to take my place? You're just kind of getting sometimes a little bit paranoid sometimes perhaps about things around you that make any sense why you're thinking like this, but you're finding the attacks take place at noonday or in the daytime. So if you're like that right now, would you please stand to your feet? Daytime people being attacked in ways of fear, worry, or realms of that nature. Anyone at all like that? Okay? So let's pray right now then. If there's not anybody in the room tonight for that, let's pray for our children that God would just protect them from these attacks of the enemy. Okay? So Father, right now we just bless you and thank you, O God, that your word is yes and amen. And we declare that our children, they are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing, not a curse. And they shall see, we shall see them inherit what you've ordained for them in the life they live on this earth, in Jesus' name. We declare in the daytime, in the noontime hours, in the light of their lives, they shall be trained, equipped, and sharpened, and drawn to Jesus every day of their life. We annihilate the plans of hell. We annihilate the fearsome work of the enemy. We break off bullying in the name of Jesus. Intimidation, be broken off of them. Peer pressure will not rule over them. In the daytime hours at school, when they're going about their own business, we declare the will of God be their portion and the blessings of God overtake them. And our grandchildren and our children, they are blessed, they are covered, and they are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the presence of your grace and by even the warring angels of heaven that are over them. Father, we declare those angels are ministering spirits that bring forth to them, O God, protection, guidance, and blessing. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen. I encourage you guys to take those kind of prayers to heart for your grandchildren, your children, because the devil's got a plan for their lives. God's got a better plan. I want to see God's plan released, not the devil's. Amen. Because the agenda of heaven needs to come first, and it will come first if we pray, bind, and loose. It will make a difference in our children's and grandchildren's lives. Amen. You know, even right now, our oldest grandson, 2 years old now, is already wanting to read the Bible, asks for the Bible all the time on his little iPhone that his mom owns, and is actually listening to Psalms of Praise right now at 2 years of age. And so something's drawing him to godly things at age two, and I praise God for that. Those don't just happen by accident. We got to keep on praying, loosing, and believing God. At a very young age, they keep on being drawn to God in the noontime and the daytime. Amen. So moving on now, next prayer point is found in Psalm 9 and 10. Psalm 91, 9 and 10 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So we're going to pray the revelation of God's presence will supersede sickness and disease. And believe God for his presence to increase in our corporate gatherings on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings as well, to the point that when people come together in this place to worship God, we're going to start seeing miracles and healings break loose automatically with nobody even being prayed for by the congregation. That is a fact of life in many congregations all over the world right now. When God's presence is in places, there's testimonies of people having cancers healed, of having goiters removed, having back problems healed instantly by just walking into a place where God's presence is at. And I want to see that take place in our congregation more and more and more. It has happened here to some extent, but not the extent that God wants it to happen in the days ahead. Amen? And so we're going to pray for Gloria in a moment. We're going to pray for anybody in the room here that has any kind of a sickness or a disease in your body tonight. We're going to believe that God's presence is going to permeate your life and permeate this place, and all disease and all sickness will go, because the fact is, in heaven, there's no disease, no sickness, because the presence of the Lord won't allow it. God won't allow sickness or disease to be in his presence. That's why every place Jesus went, all disease, all of it, and sickness had to go. Every person Jesus prayed for was healed because he carried the presence of God in him, okay? And so I'm saying don't condemn yourself when you pray for somebody who does not get healed, but do realize the more God's presence increases on us and with us, the more there'll be miracles and healings take place automatically and corporately in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 says this, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. And so the Spirit of God does live in us. Resurrection power of God is in us, and he shall quicken our mortal bodies. And disease and sickness cannot dwell in us in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, if you have any kind of a sickness or disease, please stand to your feet. Gloria, other folks, stand to your feet now. We're going to be the body of Christ again here. I want you to start taking, once you're all have stood up, that have sickness or disease in your body. Let's all stand up now and gather around these people here. Get 3, 4, 5 around each person. And let's believe God again that every bit of sickness, every bit of disease is broken off these bodies in the name of Jesus Christ as the presence of God increases. May the Spirit of God be on them to quicken their mortal bodies and bring healing to them. Father, right now, we thank you, O God, But you are the one, O God, who's living in us. We're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we declare, Father God, your presence dwells in us individually, but also your presence, God, is here corporately. And Father, we thank you, O God, that we are here together in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. So you're right here in the midst of us. And we declare, Father God, that every person that you prayed for was healed. And so by your stripes, healing has been purchased for all of us. And we thank you, O God, tonight that your presence, Lord, increase in this place. When we come together in praise, when we come together in worship, when we come together to glorify the name of our God, there shall come forth liberty and freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus. We command right now every sickness, every disease, be broken off these bodies in the name of Jesus. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he shall quicken our mortal bodies. And our mortal bodies shall receive healing, wholeness, and soundness in the name of Jesus. We right now just say every work of hell is a curse. Has no place in us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies are meant to be filled with the presence of God, not the presence of sickness or disease. We praise you, God, this day, that healings and miracles shall increase in this congregation, through this congregation, and upon this people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And when we leave this place, give us, O God, more and more divine opportunities to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. We praise you, God. We thank you for these things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, again, the man named Bill Johnson out there in California gives a testimony about how a guy from Great Britain came into his church in Redding, California some time ago. And during praise and worship, he said the man was standing up with the congregation, lifting his hands to God, praising God. All of a sudden, he felt the person behind him spill hot coffee on his shoulder. And this British guy, very proper, says, "Well, how dare this person taking poor coffee on my shoulder like this? Who in the world is doing this?" So he turns around and looks, and there's nobody there. The Holy Spirit's, they realize this man had been injured in a sports injury in Great Britain years ago, and it actually damaged his shoulder so badly he could not do sports of any kind anymore. The Holy Spirit came down upon him during praise and worship in warmth and power like hot coffee and poured healing on his shoulder, and his shoulder was totally healed right there during praise and during worship in that service. May that become commonplace more and more among people in the body of Christ, even in places like this, because God loves people and he wants to see all these calamities of the enemy broken off their bodies. Amen. So now God has placed some of us in dark places, like in dark places of work. It's kind of like Daniel. God put Daniel in a dark place in Babylon, almost like second in command eventually over the whole province that was there. And some of you guys also have been put in places of darkness in your neighborhood or in your workplace, and it's not been an accident. You're actually there because you can handle it with the salt and light you carry. God puts you in a dark place to be an influence for righteousness and salvation for them. And so not all believers belong in easy places to work at or live at. Some of you guys are put there by God on purpose where there's all kinds of cussing, yelling, fighting, and so forth going on all around you. It's because you can take it, and because you're there to be a more than a conqueror person in that place and dispel light and darkness in that place in Jesus' name. And again, even like Kendra again, as she goes to a country or nation full of darkness, God will take certain people and put them right there like a firebrand in a very dark area because he knows they can handle it and because he knows they can face it the right way with God's help and actually be a force for good in that place. So we're going to read here Psalms 91, 11 through 14. And I'm going to say that when God said there'll be wars and rumors of wars in the last days, there'll be famine and pestilence in various places, he was not trying to say to be aware of this and be afraid of this. He was saying, this is simply the atmosphere I'm going to cause my glorious church to flourish in the last days. So God's saying there'll be famines, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, and realize that'll be the atmosphere for you guys that are salt and light to work in the last days. Don't be afraid of it. Don't back off from that. Don't cry for rapture every day. Realize this is the atmosphere God puts the church in the last days for the end time harvest, okay? That's what God is saying. So it says here, verse 11 and 14 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." Okay, so I'm going to ask all you folks tonight that have been planted in a dark place, a neighborhood, a workplace, or even a family that just yells and screams and half of them are unsaved. You're in a household like that right now. Would you be honest right now and would you stand up? If you're in a dark place like this, you work in a dark place, you live in a dark place, neighborhood, or you're in a dark place, family, would you go ahead and stand up? Anyone like that at all in here? Okay. We're going to pray for these two folks here. They're in a place where there's a lot of darkness around them. And we're going to pray that God's grace be on them and with them as well. Damien should be up here, I'm sure, as well. Damien's got folks of darkness all around her. Anybody that's in a prison, that's working as a prison guard, is in a dark place. If you don't mind, can you stand up here at all? Because you're going to need prayer. I'll discern for you that you're in a dark place. Yes. Okay, I want to have all you folks again now do your Christian calisthenics, and please stand up one more time. This is going to be our last prayer point. One more beyond this. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you guys now to do a little bit different on this prayer. I'm going to say some words to pray. I'm going to ask you guys, as you lay hands upon these people and pray for them, to pray these words over them in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's say these words right now together. For those who are planted in a dark place, I pray the angels of God be with them, be recognized where they work and where they live. And I declare no weapon formed against them prospers. They are salt. They are light. They're there on purpose. And the grace of God is sufficient for them in the name of Jesus. Now, just pray, and whatever you want to pray right now is pray over them. Just pray for God's protection, God's grace, God's favor, God's wisdom, God's keys, the keys to the gates of hell be given to them in the name of Jesus. We declare there's coming forth, oh God, more favor, more wisdom, new keys, new breakthroughs, new doors opened up, promotions. We praise you, God, for promotions, God, for these people. They'll be like Daniel was as the enemy tries to push them down and into the lion's den. They find themselves coming up and their enemies being cut off and themselves being promoted in the name of Jesus. We bind false accusations, jealous people, those who backbite and slander them, those who would try and destroy them or injure them. We just rebuke that and bind that in Jesus' name. And what the enemy means for evil, God will turn for good for them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, O God. Thank you, Father. Okay, there's one more prayer here to pray. Verses 15 through 16, then we'll be dismissing. Verse 15 and 16 says this: He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We're going to pray at the end of the service now. The Lord will draw a line in the sand. And you'll be able to live the rest of your life without any regrets in your life. What I'm saying is, this scripture talks about people who've got regrets. They've made some mistakes in the past, made some bad decisions perhaps. They did some things that they wish they had not done. And through that, they see themselves today, and they think about regrets of what they should have done different months, weeks, or years ago, but did not do. God is saying again, you can't live in the past. Today is a present from God, and God's a God of the present, and God's a God of the future, okay? So God wants us to take and forget about the past, burn the past, burn those things that they're watering under the bridge, and realize that God redeems the past. God will use your past. God will take and wipe out your past, and God will give you a bright today and a better tomorrow by His Spirit. So if you're a person tonight suffering any regrets from past mistakes, even past failures, would you stand to your feet now if you're like that? Anybody like that at all? Just stand to your feet. Past regrets, past mistakes that are actually causing, vexing you tonight, today, in your life. I want all the folks, again, this is your last calisthenics. Let's all stand up one more time. Let's find these three people that are standing up here. Let's gather around them. And one more time, I'm going to ask you to repeat these words after me for these people tonight. And think about what you're praying for them. Excuse me, as I lead you in prayer tonight for them. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's say this. The past is the past. It does not belong to me. It was purchased through the blood of Jesus. My past is covered. I renounce regret. You have no influence over my life. I refuse to revisit my past. Apart from the blood of Jesus, regret has no place in me. I am determined through the grace of God to experience fullness of life. Yes, Father God, we praise you and thank you, Lord, tonight for our sisters that are standing up tonight, being honest and transparent. Remove, oh God, the very sting of death, the very smell and stench of past failures, past regrets, past mistakes. Those things shall not be things that actually vex their lives any longer. We say that the enemy can't use the past to beat them over the head and try to bring to them things of fear, things of worry, and things of despair for the future. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We realize that clouds may come and clouds may obscure the sun, but the fact is the sun's above the clouds and the sun is still marching through the heavens. No matter what the clouds are doing, that does not dictate what the sun is doing. The sun is still marching across the path of their lives, and the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day comes. In Jesus' name. Let all these clouds, O God, be broken and removed, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings break forth upon them, O God, like the light of the dawn, and bring forth truth, and bring forth light, and bring forth hope, because your word says, Father God, a longing fulfilled, hope fulfilled is a tree of life, and hope deferred will only make the heart sick. No more sick hearts, no more sick hearts, no more longings unfulfilled. There comes forth, O God, the tree of life, the plantings of the Lord that brings forth a fruit that remains in the name of Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, O God. You are good. You are righteous. And you will accomplish these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Give yourselves a hand and give God a hand for all he's done tonight. Just praise his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, God. Well, tonight was a night. We left the 99 and we went after the one. Amen. Or the two, or the three, or the four, or more. And so once in a while, let's just take time like this once in a while to break out of the norm, minister one to another. And I pray tonight we're seeing a releasing in the atmosphere of this place for Sunday morning as well, that God just break loose on us to be free to minister one to another in Jesus' name. I'm going to have Anson Thomas, who's back here from his long trip to Houston or whatever, to dismiss us in prayer tonight. Okay, it's good to have you back here again. And keep praying for James Kreitz. We have Connie Kirk's got a comment here. Yes. Yes.